Well, a good morning to all of you and a welcome in the name of Jesus. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, he's still King this morning, King of his kingdom. That's exciting. I was so blessed last night about the kingdom of God. And I don't believe that what I want to share this morning is going to subtract anything from it. It's going to add to it. The verses there back in Peter that our brother spoke on last night or touched on at the very end there, he says, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Isn't that wonderful? He says, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. We are that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, and that peculiar people. Why? That we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the subject that was assigned me to speak on this morning, on modesty, I think fits in there very well. It fits right in there. I know some people look at that subject as one that they don't like to talk about in the world today. The Christian church in the world today, in general, doesn't like to talk about it. They consider that legalistic doctrine. But by the way, in case you are scared of legalism, I will tell you that you better be legal when you drive down the road. And by the way, another thing is, the Bible tells us that except that we strive lawfully, we shall not be crowned. So there is something about being legal that is right. Now, maybe we can just focus on legalistic things, and maybe that isn't quite the right emphasis. But to speak on Bible things is not legalistic. It's only right. And I would like to entitle this message, if I can find me a marker here, I'll write the title up here, "The Glory of God." I can't even spell right this morning, so I don't know how this is going to go. "The Glory of God in Modesty." Maybe that will make you sisters feel like there is a purpose for you and us brethren to be modest. "The Glory of God in Modesty." Why? "That we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness." Peculiar people. Special people. Actually, I think that word peculiar has something of that meaning, special. You're a special people, that you should show forth the praises of God in a dark and a troubled world. No wonder the songwriter put these words in a song, "Love not the world. Its dazzling show conceals the snare of death. The sweetest joy earth can bestow dies as a wasted breath. Love not the world is Jesus' plea. Sweet life to you he brought. Alone with death on Calvary, your sin-lost soul he sought." So my plea this morning is with the songwriter also. Love not the world in its dazzling show. Love not the world. Amen. Well, on the subject of modesty this morning, we of course will turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 for the opening scripture on that. Before we get into that, though, I'd like to turn to another scripture in Matthew. And I thought about this last evening as our brother was preaching about Jesus. Jesus is a beautiful example of modesty. Did you know that? Have you ever thought about Jesus being an example of modesty? Look what he says here in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, there's something about modesty that gives rest too. Modesty is restful. You really don't have to be anybody else but yourself when you're modest. You don't have to keep up with everything that goes on or be pressured by the peers in your life. You don't need that. There's rest to the ones who come to Him. But this is what Jesus says here. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is the character of Jesus. "I am meek, I am lowly," he says here. Lowly in heart. Jesus was just who he was. He really didn't pretend to be anything else, did he? He was just who he was he not? He was the Son of God. I mean, he was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. But you know, Jesus had a meek heart. He had a lowly heart. He wasn't out to impress people. He was only out to do his Father's will. Praise God. And because of that, we can be who we are in him. Modesty. Modesty is a virtue and a character of godliness. It's a virtue. It's a character. Our brother was talking last night about virtues, and I thought about that when he drew that circle and had all those virtues. There's one more he could have added there. Modesty. It's a virtue. And it's a character. It's a character of God. God is like that. But with the decline of God-fearing people today, in the churches too, but with the decline of God-fearing people in our day, there's a decline of a moral conscience. And there's a decline of the virtues of modesty and modest character. It's almost gone. It's almost gone. And that's why we speak about these things. In the last years especially, I've noticed it, but it's been going on for practically a century that this thing has really been degenerating. But in the last years, the church has been slowly exchanging its patterns, slowly exchanging the character and the pattern for cross-cultural, for casual, for the unpredictable, and perverted fashion. I believe if we would see where some of these things are designed, the fashion designers of this day, if we would see where some of this comes from, some of the fads and some of the things that people are following after today, men and women, If we would see where it comes from, we would run the other way as fast as we could. We'd run to Jesus. We don't see where some of the... But it comes slowly. It doesn't come in a big shock, you know. It comes slowly, and it's been coming into the churches. And it comes in under the guise of liberty in Christ. Dress codes are and have been disappearing from church standards. From the schools. From the businesses and the homes. Used to be there were dress codes. People had to dress a certain way. By the way, when I'm talking this morning about modesty, I want to talk about more than one aspect of it. There's the moral conscience aspect of it, and then there's also the outward aspect of it in how we dress and how we conduct ourselves, and they're connected. They're very much connected. You can't have the one and not the other. In other words, you can't be modest outside. Well, yes, you could be modest outside, but not inside. But you can't be modest inside and not be outside. Let's put it that way. But they've been disappearing from the churches, from our Mennonite churches, from the Amish churches. Fashions. New fashions and degenerating morals are coming in the name of Christian liberty. The Bible warns us of this. It warns us. It talks about those who will come and turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And that's exactly what he's talking about, I believe. The movie world, the TV, the actors and the actresses are pretenders, by the way. The role of acting and is nothing more than pretending to be something they're not, or trying to do something, pretend things. And the Bible even warns us to steer away from those. It's amazing how people say they don't want to go to church because of all the hypocrites there. But they'll sit at home and watch their TV and watch all the hypocrites there. You know, and they get all excited about the hypocrites on their movies. But they don't get excited about going to church because there's some hypocrites there. But listen, we're being affected by those things. We are. We're being affected by those things. That movie world out there is promoting the nakedness, the immorality in America today. That's 90% of where it comes from. The other 10% comes from the fallen nature. But by the way, it all comes from the fallen nature. I guess 100% of it comes from the fallen nature. And I believe the ungodly system that affects the worldly minds of unbelieving, ungodly America is some of the smoke that comes out of the pit of hell. And it's the most damaging pollution that has ever hit this atmosphere. We're worried about, you know, they have all kinds of things that they're worried about. You know, we have to use certain kinds of soap so we don't pollute the ocean, so we don't pollute the rivers. We have to keep our smog down so we don't pollute the air. And that, I'm not saying that's wrong, but there's a greater pollution out there that's affecting the minds and the hearts of people, that's destroying this nation. It's that pollution of immorality. And that's why we speak, that's why we warn, that's why this subject came up. Is because of what's going on in our nation, in our communities, in our churches. That's what's going on in our churches. And that's why there's some of the people that we once knew that were Christians are now out in the world, and they're in homosexuals, they're in lesbian, they're in all kinds of corruptible things, and you say, well, it couldn't be me, I'd never go that way, but you follow that trend, you follow those steps, and they'll lead you there. One by one, pornography and all those kind of things, they'll lead you there. They'll take you down that road to destruction. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that her steps, that means it's not just one big jump. Steps. Her steps. They're movable. Well, she's movable. You can't always tell where she's at. But those steps, what does it say? Where they lead? They lead to hell. The end of it is the mastermind behind it is Satan. And his goal is to step you down to hell. One step at a time. And that's why we must warn. Reaping is here for the declining morals of America. It's time to wake up, America. The morals are decaying. The prisons are full. Some years ago, I remember, we were foster parents, and I remember they told us we weren't allowed to spank our children anymore. We weren't allowed to spank foster children. And they were getting pretty tough on the parents. But I said this way, I told them, if you don't allow us to do that, and if you're going to take discipline away from the parents to the children, you are going to have to build bigger prisons. You're going to need more prisons, and they are. The prisons are full, and they're building more. Why? The ungodliness is increasing. There's murderers. Why is there so much rape? Why is there so much sex offenders? Incest. Abortions. Homosexual perversions and people wanting to be perverted. Man wanting to be a woman and woman wanting to be a man. Why is all that? It's simply because of this. If the morals are decaying. They used to be some morals in this country long ago. The nakedness of American women, the suggestive fashions of so-called Christians. It's bringing reaping day. There's a reaping coming and it's already here. It's already here. America's already reaping the results of the seed they're planting. We're not in the full of it yet, but it's coming. The warnings sound out in the Gospel of Jude in 2 Peter chapter 2. If you read the Gospel of Jude, the warning sounds out against these things. He says, woe unto them. They're like raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. They're wandering stars reserved for the darkness forever. He uses terms like they're filthy dreamers defiling the flesh. Fornicators going after strange flesh, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude saw these things coming upon the world in the last days. And he's warning us today. We're living there. We're living in the midst of that kind of thing. And that's why modesty is such an important subject to talk about. So if you think I'm legalistic, I'm here to legalistically warn you. Now there's three gems in modesty that I'd like to talk about this morning. The first one is modesty in itself. The second one is the covering. Modesty has a meaning of covering the body. And then the third one is distinction of sex, distinction of man and woman, male and female, distinction. Those are three gems that are in the subject of modesty. And I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy and begin there with the first scripture. Actually, I believe, I'm not sure if this is the only place the word modesty is actually used, but I think it is, as far as the word itself. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, whereunto, he says here, Timothy writing, or Paul writing to Timothy, he says here, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And then he says, I will, I like this, I will that men pray everywhere. I will that men pray everywhere, everywhere. Oh, I believe this is the heart of Paul, that there would be faith in every man, everywhere, across the world, everywhere where he's gone. There would be faith, and that men would be on their knees praying, reaching out to God in faith, believing without wrath and doubting. Oh, I believe that's what he was talking about there. You know that there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. We have a God that answers prayer. We have a God that knows what we need. We're not alone. Hallelujah. In like manner, he says men should do that. Pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And he says in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So women also, he says in like manner, so I believe that would tell me that women also can pray with holy hands, lifting up holy hands. He would that women would do that. And that women would adorn themselves. Now, boy, that's been a big word for some people. They've read that word. I've read some commentaries on that. And there's people that really think that women should actually adorn themselves. And I think it means that. Yeah. They should adorn themselves. But with what? With what? What should women adorn themselves? That's where we disagree with the modern philosophy of this. Not with it. He tells us very clearly, not with broided hair, not with gold, and not with costly array. He tells us very clearly not to dress that way. Not to adorn themselves with those things. But to adorn themselves, he says, with modest apparel. With modest apparel. And that word modest there, I'd like to look at that. Modesty is modesty is beautiful. Modesty is not pride. Modesty is being common. It's a virtue and it's a character. It expresses something. Modesty expresses something in you. And I don't think... It's pretty hard. I don't know. I don't think you'll ever get it, ladies or men, without having a changed heart. I don't think you'll get it. And I wonder, is that why we see some of the things we do in the church today? There's too much profession, but not a changed heart. Not a changed heart. That word adorn means to harmoniously arrange. That's one meaning, and I like that. To arrange harmoniously. Arrange your life to be a godly woman or a man. That's what he's actually saying, I believe. Arrange your life. You have a testimony, sisters and men. You have a testimony that you're a Christian. You get up before the church and you tell the church. You share your testimony. You get up on the street corner and you share your testimony. You tell your neighbor how you got converted and all of that. And how God saved your soul. And how He changed your life. Now, He says, you harmoniously arrange that testimony to fit your character by the way you dress, by the way you live, by the things you do and the things you don't do. Arrange your life, he says, to be a godly woman, which becometh women professing godliness. I think he's saying, arrange your life to match your testimony. Adorn yourself that way. And not only your life, but he's talking right here, he's talking about clothing. You know, God does have a dress standard. Some people don't think he does. It's only the heart that matters. Now, I do agree that the heart matters, and that and that God sees your heart beyond your coat that you're wearing. But he also knows why you wear what you do. He knows that. And he is specifically talking here about clothing. And he's talking about jewelry. And he's talking about costly array. And he's talking about braided hair. He's talking about hairstyles. That's basically what the things he's mentioning here. Braided hair. Back in them days, I believe they braided jewelry or gold or whatever. I don't know what they braided in, but stuff to make their hair fancy. And he says, don't do that.
Right.
He's saying, don't do those things. And it's, you know, people, a lot of women don't think it's necessary to wear a head veiling. Most women think that way. That in our generation, it's not necessary to wear a head veiling. But once they take their head veilings off, where do they go? For the most part, they're adorning. They go to the beauty parlor. They go to the saloons to try to fix their hair. Why? That's exactly what he's warning against. That's what he's warning against. Don't do those things. That's not modesty. Let's not be actors or actresses, but let's be in order harmoniously with our profession of godliness, with good works. Why? For the glory of God. For the glory of God. For the glory of Jesus Christ. We are changed people. God wants us to remain changed people and to live that way. Hallelujah. Your modesty, God is not interested in your dresses, but He's interested in your devotion to Him. He is. He's interested in your devotion to Him, and that will prove to Him how devoted you are, or if you're devoted to something else. You know, there's other things that I don't know how I can say this, but there's other things. It seems we go to church on Sunday and we're so devoted. I was just thinking about that last night. We're so devoted on Sunday morning to God. I mean, we try to dress right and we try to do everything right on Sunday morning. But Saturday we were to the auction. And this place here is used for auctions generally, where you're sitting. And they have bring all kinds of things in here and sell them. But the people get all hyped up about some little jar that they're selling. And they get all hyped up for other kinds of things, merchandise that they have to sell. They get so excited about that. Their heart is after that. You know, they're into antiques. They're into all kinds of things. And then they tell me that we're going to church tomorrow. We're going to church tomorrow. I don't know. Sometimes I think we're a bunch of hypocrites. We live our life on Sundays, and the rest of the week we do what we want to do. We live for ourselves, for our pleasure, for our desires. Do you think God knows that? Do you think God sees that? Do you think He really thinks that we're really so devoted to Him? I better keep moving here. Modesty is not assertive. It's not forward. It's not boastful. Modesty is quiet. It's shamefaced. Shamefaced. It's sobriety. And that means properly restraint. Sobriety means that you restrain yourself. As a Christian, there's some things the flesh would do, but you restrain yourself. You can't do it. Maybe somebody else can do it, but I can't do it. Sobriety is you look at life in a sober way. There's some things you can't do. Every one of us has things that if we're Christians, we can't do. We can't do it. Somewhere you have a line. Somewhere you can't do it. But you're restrained by a sense of decency. That's another word for modesty, I believe, was decent. Your modest apparel should express the same decency. The devotion, your devotion to Christ is the beauty that should shine on your face. Hallelujah. If you want to look good, ladies, that's the way to look good. Get such a devotional life with God that the glow of Jesus Christ is on your life and upon your face. And you don't want anybody to see anything else but Him. And same with us men. I believe it's the same way with all of us as Christians. If we love Jesus Christ, and our devotion to Him should shine upon our lives. That beauty, that's what He wants. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. And God wants to give us the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be glowing. I believe He wants His church to glow for Him. Regardless of what we go through here in life, He wants us to be glowing for Him. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you, all of you, sisters and all of you, men, don't be afraid to be different from the world. Don't love the world. Don't be afraid to be different. While back, was it last Sunday, maybe it was, when the young people shared, or the people that went to New York City shared about, and I want to mention something about that this one girl or something was staring at him. She said, you know, why are you so different? You know, why do you look like you do, why you dress like you do, why are you so different? And they just stared and stared, and the people just stared at him in New York. She thought the New Yorkers were weird. But here, the New Yorkers thought, we're weird. That's all right. We need to, in this day and age, we need to stand out. We need to be different. We cannot go follow the fashion and the patterns of this world and the way they're taking us, that they want to take the devil wants to take the people. You cannot follow that. You cannot follow what Mr. World wants to dictate to you and expect to get where you want to go. We need to stand out. We'll not convert the world any other way. Set that upon your heart. You're glad to be different for Jesus' sake. You're glad to wear a veiling on your head for Jesus' sake. Perhaps it'll cause someone to ask you, why do you wear that thing on your head? And you can tell them, it's because the Lord Jesus, I love Him, and He told us in His Bible to do this. And I respect Him. He's my head. You know, yeah, the man is your head, but you're also recognizing that God is your head, that the Lord Jesus is your head. That's beautiful. And the same way with the men. Why don't we wear something on our... We men, I wear something on my head sometimes because I... Got to for weather's sake, but if I pray, I don't pray with this thing on my head. Off it comes. I don't care if it's 10 below zero. I pray with my head uncovered. But I've noticed they're professing Christians, men. They'll have their bill caps on backwards and be sitting at a table, and sometimes they don't even pray. They don't even bother praying. But, you know, I believe God wants us to respect His order in those things. Not just the women, the men also. The beauty and modesty is the expression of the Holy Spirit. An inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Modesty is an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would inspire us to be modest.
That's right.
He would inspire us to be meek. He would inspire humility in our life. He would inspire us to put away pride in all things that detour from it. And the loss of it. The loss of modesty soon casts a shadow of darkness and doubt over your life. You know that? You lose modesty, there's going to be a shadow of darkness come over you. 2 Peter 3. Let's look at that one. Second Peter chapter 3. Well, I'm not getting very fast. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament. Again, there we see an ornament. Adornment. There we see an ornament. Ladies and gentlemen, we can put ornaments on. This is the one we can put on. He says, a meek and a quiet spirit. That is beautiful. In the sight of God, it's of great price. Hallelujah. Modesty is meekness. Modesty is quietness. Modesty is living quietly in submission to your own husband, it says. So that's part of modesty. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I'd like to look at that. Romans 12. It says here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, modesty is that. It's a transformed way of thinking. It's a transformed way of thinking. Modesty is a living sacrifice. It's presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. Modesty is holy. It's acceptable unto God. Modesty is your reasonable service. It's only right. It's only reasonable that we don't exalt ourselves or try to show ourselves off, but that we show glorified God through Jesus Christ. It's only reasonable that we do that as Christians. Modesty can prove what God's will is. You get this thing cleared up. You get this thing cleared up and you can see more clearly what's going on. I think we're living in a lot of smog today. A lot of Christians don't know what's right and wrong. And so they take some of the Bible and say, oh, that don't mean for us today. That's not for us today. And they page over and they say, well, this isn't for us today either. And, well, what is for us today? Well, I don't know for sure, but I think it's just, we just have to believe. You know, and pretty soon, it's foggy. And pretty soon, I don't know if I believe anything anymore. You know, there's a lot of people that once were believers that aren't believers at all, simply because they got into the fog. They got into the fog. Do you pretend? Do you idolize? Do you idolize things that you wish you had that? Do you want to go to that church because there you can have that? There they won't say anything about it. There they don't have a dress code. Do you want to go to that church because there you can do like you want to? Are you a pretender? Do styles affect you? Or do you have a transformed mind? Do you have a transformed mind? You know, with a transformed mind, peer pressure doesn't bother us. Matter of fact, sometimes I think it almost urges us on if we have a transformed mind. It gives us a shot in the arm to go farther. We're going for glory. We're going for Jesus Christ. We're running for God. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. Okay, I'm going to run through these next ones really fast because my time is here to stop. Modesty is covering the body. The purpose of modesty is to conceal and not reveal. Back in the roaring 20s in America, there's great changes took place. Women left the home. That was back in World War I, after World War I, and right in that time. And I wasn't born back there, so I don't, you know. But I just read this, and so I'm preaching it to you, but women left the home to work in factories. Women were liberated to more freedoms of expression. Women were allowed to vote. With women's lib, with all that liberty that women got back then, you know what happened? Back before that, they used to wear their dresses down to the floor. They wore floor-length dresses, and they didn't wear them tight. They wanted to conceal the body. They buttoned their dresses up here or made them clear up here. But when that came, when women's lib came along, then the dresses started getting shorter. The blouses, they began to unbutton their blouses and the neckline started getting lower. And the time came when the when their dresses were 9 inches from the floor. One preacher said he doesn't know what to do, what's going to happen, because the women's skirts are getting so short, they're 9 inches from the floor already. Where's it going to end? I wonder where we're at today. Where'd our conscience go to? And it was 1933 when the swimsuits came out. Those tight swimsuits, which today people wouldn't even wear, probably, to go to the beach. They wouldn't expose enough. They wouldn't wear them today. But it was 1933 when those came in, tight, skin-tight swimsuits. And the rush came to go to the beaches. And it was that paved the way for the public nudity that's in the world today. The fashion designers used to be in Paris. That used to be the fashion center of the world. It promoted changes in styles that appealed to the world. And then the TV came in. And TV was a means of getting these fads and these things out to the people in a fast way. You know, the devil is the prince of the power of the air. And I believe he knows how to get stuff moving. I mean, he gave men wisdom to bring all this stuff to pass. God allowed it. But that's why today you can't hardly move in an area in the world where it's not, where you don't have this kind of an influence, is because the internet, the TV has spread. They spread the fads and the fashions all over the world in no time. And so he's busy. I don't know if that's still the fashion center of the world. It's either there or Hollywood. I'm not sure where it's at. But with all that takes place, most of it, I think, comes out of Hollywood and the Western influence today. But if you've ever noticed, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't even notice this much, but I've noticed that most of those actors and actresses commit suicide. They commit suicide. Why? It's not from God. They're bound up by the devil. And it's the last step to hell. The mastermind of it all is the prince of the power of the air. Satan has captivated the world with lust. The lust of the flesh. The lust of money and the pride of life. He's captivated the world by those aspects of life. And also through pretending. People are taken up with pretenders. Actors. You know, that I think that's why America can't think straight anymore. They've got so much pretense going on. They're following actors. If you can put on a good show, if you can put on a good show and sell 1 million copies of your book or whatever, then you've got it made, you know. Satan has seduced multitudes and leads them to hell with filthy minds, with fads, with popularity, and with pride. Modesty is clothing the body. Modesty is clothing the body. Clothing the body needs to be because of sin. When sin came into the world, God clothed man. Man tried to sew some fig leaves, but it didn't work. It didn't do the job, and God clothed man. He put coats upon them. It says coats of skins, but I believe it was covering. It covered. Because of the sinful nature of man, we need to be covered. Americans don't understand this. Christians, don't we understand this? That's why things are the way they are. That's why things are the way they are. Is because we're not following God's plan. That's why America has got the problems they have. And that's why we see some of the things. And I'm just going to name some things. Somebody told me to stick my head out. Get out from under the shell and stick my head out. Well, I'll probably, you know, if you want to chop my head off, that's all right. But I'm going to heaven when you do it. High heels. I'm just going to mention some things that I think we're affected with. Why do you wear high heels? Are you advertising your curves and your bulges? What are you doing? Shorts, slacks, glamorous hairstyles. And that's coming in our churches. Glamorous hairstyles, you know. Why comb your hair the way you do? Do you do it because you want to be, you've seen the movie stars do it? The slinky tight dresses. You know, I remember some years ago, we didn't see any of that amongst us. But we're seeing those kinds of things. Tight dresses, slinky. Oh, they're double layer. They're catastola, huh? They're cape dresses. But they're slinky and tight. And then when you wear your high heels, you know, I don't know what you're trying to show off, ladies, but you're not glorifying Jesus Christ. You're glorifying your own selves. You're and men, why do you have your hairstyles? Is that modest? Let me ask you this question. Are these things modest? Is this the way the godly women of old dressed and did things? Did they do it that way? He says we should be harmonious with the godly women of old, the way they dressed. What about the men and their hairstyles? We see these men with their long, shaggy hair, you know, straggly. I don't know who they go to for haircuts. But somehow they get all choppy and straggly. Is that harmoniously arranged? What about ponytails and that kind of thing? I don't know that we have those amongst us, thank God. But oh, when I see a man with a ponytail, I just love to take a scissors and go, quip. I'd love to. I mean, because it's not right. It's a shame. And the man don't know it, but it's a shame. It's a shame for men to have long hair, look like a woman. That's being effeminate. Bare-chested men, tattoos, earrings, gold watches. You know, at one time it was a shame for men to have an earring in his ear. Oh, I remember the first time I ever saw that. I thought that is so obnoxious. And most people thought it was obnoxious. Now you see him with rings in both ears, rings in her nose. Cowboy garb, that's another one that I think is, it's a shame. Cowboy garb, again, it's pretending. If you're a cowboy out west and you want to wear pointed shoes so you can jump in a saddle quick, I don't have no problem with that. But if you've got to have pointed shoes with fancies and spurs on them to walk around here with your tight pants, with your tight jeans and form-fitted shirt, what are you? You're not a cowboy. You're a pretender. You're a hypocrite. Especially if you profess Jesus Christ. Hey, but you're following after the cowboys. Who are you following? Who's your God? The goatee. The goatee beard, that's one. Uh-oh. Boy, I might get in trouble on this one. But the goatee, do you know where that comes from? You I'll challenge you to go find out where it comes from, and you won't wear a goatee. If you really know where it comes from, you wouldn't wear one. You'd wear a beard. You'd have a beard. And I say, if you're going to have a beard, and God put one on your face for the purpose of sexual distinction, I believe it's one of the marks for a man. But if you're going to have a beard, have one to the glory of God. Have one that will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, not one that glorifies the author of goats. You know what the goat symbol is? That's a symbol of Satanism. Did you know that? The goat head is a symbol of Satanism. I don't want to have anything to do with that. And then we see oversized t-shirts. We see baggy pants. By the way, you can't hardly buy shirts anymore. Everybody's going to t-shirts and either tight ones or so loose and baggy that you lose themselves. Baggy pants hanging down to the knees, all kinds of things. But you know, if you'd know where some of that comes from, you wouldn't want it either. Do you know that some of that stuff, especially the baggy pants where they have the crouch way down here, you know where that originated? That originated in prison among the homosexuals. Do you want to follow that? Do you want to glorify that? Oh, who are we following? Have you lost your way? Modesty does not pretend. Modesty reveals good character. And the third one, boy, I'm going over time. I'm sorry, Mose. I'm going to try to just finish this right now. Distinction. Distinction of man and woman. Dress should be different. Hair should be different. And our conduct should be different. It's modest to have clear distinction between men and women. It's a shame if we have to walk up to some mom and say, is it a boy or is it a girl? What is it? We don't notice whether we should say he or she. Is he a boy? Is she a girl? We have to say, is it? Because we don't know. Okay. God's plan is for distinction. I'm going to just close. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. You know, we're going to be judged by the things that happen, the things that we've done in our body. That means this, what we did with our body, that's our literal body, I believe. The things that we did while we were here on earth in our body, we're going to be judged. Let's remember that. Let's pray. Lord, guide us. Give us convictions. Give us guidance. Lord, show us where we err in these things and lead us in the way of everlasting life. We pray in Jesus' name.